If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hello, everybody. It is time again. It is It Just Me, the podcast where we drag a celebrity kicking and screaming into a tiny room and make them talk to us about all sorts of nonsense. I'm your co-host, Joe Elvin, with the lovely...
James Williams.
Hello. Hello. We are front and centre today in the most beautiful West London house talking to an absolute British icon. That word gets bandied around a lot, doesn't it, James?
It really does, but I think we are in the company of one today.
We're just owning it, and we're going to say hello to fashion designer and nay institution, Lulu Guinness, OBE.
Oh, hello, Lulu.
I've never been called an institution before.
And I mean it in a nice way.
Yeah. I've made it! Yeah.
Not looking like a lunatic asylum institution, you know, like in a...
Yes, I can be both.
Well, you probably feel a bit like that right now because you are building up to a very exciting time.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit, well, you're basically in the middle of London Fashion Week.
Well, it seems to be a 2-week lead up, yeah. There's so much to do because I care so much, you know, of course, about what it looks like. You know, there's so many different bits. Is that going to be a problem? Yeah.
Someone's sweeping. Yeah. Are they?
No, what? they're sand. The back of my house is falling down, so they're repointing.
Oh God, that's really expensive.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to sell a lot more handbags.
Don't tell me. That's the trouble with living in gorgeous West London houses that are very old. And I have been here 30 years.
I do wish,
and it was a bedsit, but there's always something, and so. Today, you know, some days you think, actually, they're right. I want to live in a modern box, you know. And then, you know, you appreciate it. It's like everything in life. You jump from one to the other.
I've got to say, right now, your house is making me wish I knew how to design a handbag.
It's beautiful. It really is.
It's absolutely stunning. And you can probably
lucky because we bought it 30 years ago. You know, we were very lucky. My age group was very lucky with property. Designing handbags. I really, you know, I'm an ideas person. And the first thing that I got known for was a handbag. Mm. And then I was a handbag designer.
Whether you liked it or not.
But it was very conceptual, my first handbag. It was actually, and it sounds a little bit fey, actually. But on the other hand, it was so conceptual, it makes me, if I think about it now, that it's extraordinary. It became my kind of, the thing that stood for me. This is pre the lip, if anyone can possibly even think.
Imagine.
That far back, pre the lip, my first design, which is in the V&A, and it was...
The bouquet.
It was a rose basket.
Yeah.
And I'm very, you know, like all of us, hate winter and all of that. Love flowers. Flowers always cheer me, you know, a big cheer-upper. And I was like, oh, you know, I love my roses. I just want to be able to carry them around all day with me. I know, I'll make a handbag like a vase and put fake flowers on top and carry it around. I mean, you know, it was a fairly off-the-wall idea.
But that's the thing. I mean, now, nearly...
The times were such that was... Oh my God, that's a handbag!
And that was really avant-garde and really experimental. And you paved the way. I mean, 30 years on, nearly.
Funny enough, I think if you go back, I think, you know... It wasn't, I think things get less and less experimental. I mean, I was, you know, you go back to the surrealists and, you know, 50 years before, all of that, it always seems more modern and groundbreaking, doesn't it?
Do you think that as time goes on, it just feels like there are fewer new ideas.
Yeah. Well, no. Yes and no. If you give yourself, I find it, you've got to give yourself a little bit of time to have proper ideas.
Yeah.
And what happens is you're a mother, run a business, do this. Oh yeah, and I've got to do a bit of designing. You know, it doesn't work. The ideas you know, just coming up with ideas in the fashion world where there's never the end of a season.
But that's what's happened in modern fashion, isn't it? That there's so many. There used to be spring, summer, autumn, winter. Now there's resort and couture.
I hate seasons.
Yeah,
anyone that travels,
feel like they're on a treadmill.
Do you think you're going to be allowed to ask a whole question? I talk more than anyone else. A whole sentence, you won't get an answer.
I think that'll make three of us, won't
yes,
it?
Yes, exactly.
No, I can see I'm on a battleground here. And I usually win.
Oh my God, lines are drawn. But we have to talk to you
you're
quickly.
You're the guest, yes. So you rule.
But I do want to say quickly, because obviously, you know, I think for lots of our listeners, female listeners out there, you know, the lips are, I mean, I don't feel there's not a red carpet, I feel, that's quite complete without somebody holding it, seriously.
But I know, and then really, like, not to show off, but there's the most brilliant picture in Vogue of my original red lip this month.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, oh, part of you thinks, oh, why do I bother with the red? You know, what? Why don't I just lie down?
But then you also go, ka-ching.
No, the artist in me is truly...
Of course.
But did you know, did you know you were onto something when, for example, you had the idea?
No, I thought it was too weird.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, just in those days, like, you know, I was into the Surrealists and Elsa Skepper, all this sort of stuff, and not a lot of other people were. Now, Surrealist fashion seems to have just gone on for the last 5 years. You know, now it's one of the... Rather like you're talking earlier, polka dots. You know, you've got your polka dots, you've got your florals, you've got your Surrealist, eyes and matte. You know what I mean? It's now one of the sort of ticks. But also I do think what one's got to understand as a handbag designer or having a business, because I actually have managed to, you know, I have to earn the money to live in central London and have a family and all of this. So, you know, it's art against commerce, isn't it? It's the whole thing. Mm. So I'm actually a commercial designer. And what I've got to really remember is if I want to do my own... you know what I mean? You also have a business. You also have people working for you. So you are trying to do something that people will like. You know, you can't just be so up your own... Well, you can, but then go and be an artist.
Yeah. Well, I think it's probably the equivalent of a Hollywood actor who, for example, will do a big box office film, but then also do an art house film. And that's the dream situation,
isn't
it? I know,
but it certainly is. But as you get older, you maybe the art house bit is the bit that gets lost.
Mm.
In the days of Instagram and my brand is a tribe, you know, and who wants to be part of it, you've got to give people a lot, I think. And also... I've always given people a bit of glamour in their lives, hopefully. So the second day of fashion, I always wanted to do a customer-based one. You know, so it was like really a day out. So all our best customers and followers and things are getting to come on the Sunday, which, you know, I sort of was more excited about than the press day.
That's who actually buys the stuff. Is that why?
Yeah, I've just always loved my customers. And you need to know your customers to, you know, it is, I think young people these days are so much nicer than we all were when we were young. Well, I'm not including you guys, so you're very young.
Well, exactly.
But what I was saying...
Thank you for noticing.
What I was saying is they're sort of much nicer and more inclusive and what I'm just talking about ageism, really. Mm. But also they want to know the reasons behind things, and you know, you've got to, if you want people's custom now, you've got to entertain them, you've got to make them want to feel part of what you do. You know, it's a bit more of a responsibility. I read this thing about this young person that started something called the Ice Cream Factory up in America, and I just thought it was genius. I love young entrepreneurs, and she started sort of inhabiting old cinemas and big old buildings in downtown areas and everything. And then she makes each room into a set, you know, so people come and it's like an Instagram. It's like a sort of fun fair for the Instagrammer.
Exactly, yeah, catnip for Instagram.
Yes. So I thought, oh, I know, you know, I'm always a bit more on a like her, actually, not on enormous budgets. But let's do something that's like, so we've got optical strikes, we've got mirrors, we've got... We've got all these things that you can take an amazing photograph.
That sounds really great fun. Yeah.
It's what it's meant to be. I want, you know, I've always been here to cheer you up. Yeah. I'm not, you know, I'm instant gratification possibly as a brand. I don't know, you know. I'm there. I just always said, you know, life is a very serious, you know, it's a serious thing. It's not a bed of roses. What's great is I used to have to say life is a bed of roses because that's what I had, you know, you had to sort of say, however life was, you know, and you had to present this front as a fashion person. Now we can say life is not a bed of roses, and but maybe this handbag will help, know. And that is how it is, you know. We've all become, we can all talk about everything and not have to be these personas, which is a very dangerous thing.
But then that is the currency of Instagram, that pressure to have that persona.
I don't think so. Well, it depends it depends who you are. I mean, when you grow up, the moment you grow up, I always say to people, and it only happened to me about 3 years ago, so I'm not saying, you know, I'm so perfect. So it only happened to me when I was about 55, was that you stop caring what people think, other people think about you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we always have these people, whether it's, you know, it can be a family, or it's just this person that for some reason you really care of their opinion about you or whatever. And then as you get older, it's sort of blissful and you just don't care what's, and you know.
So do you think you ever then, when you were sort of working and designing, pandering to the fashion crowd in that sense?
Of course.
Yeah.
And you hit in the beginning, yeah, because you sort of think, well, this is obviously what the rules are.
Right, that's interesting.
You know, I didn't go to fashion college. I didn't, you know, so you suddenly you're accepted as part of, or you are part of it. But luckily for me, actually, when I came into it, it was all like Vivienne Westwood, and it was real mavericks, and you know, we were we weren't, you know, it became far more sort of less of that, didn't it, and more about I don't know, big commerce,
and a certain, I think, it definitely
everyone
went
wanting
like a
to
coolness.
Be the same,
yeah, and everybody's scared to be to veer from the cool. Thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my daughter goes to college in New York, so I go to, I was being in New York, and, you know, when the street, I remember going there about 2 years ago, and just, you know, just looking at everyone, and I just thought, how, no one wears anything except for exercise, whatever it is, you know, that's 3 years ago now, but you suddenly think, you know, there's reality, and then there's, like, you know, you always think, like, in the old days, I used to think, you know, why do designers always come onto the catwalk at the end in a sort of tracksuit looking, you know? But they do that because they've been working really hard and up for 3 nights and all of that. But in the old days, we used to have to be this kind of glamorous icon and do the work. And I think that sends you crazy. Mm. And unlike actresses or, no, a comedian when they go on a tour for like 2 years, I mean, I don't know how they do it. And I think people are falling out of it now. Because we were all expected to do all these things that just aren't possible, actually.
And be this front and...
Yeah.
For life to be a bed of roses, no matter what's going on.
So my whole thing now is, you know, life is not a bed of roses. And let's all talk about it if we need to. But we can also have a handbag that cheers us up every time we look at it. And if it's not practical... you know, which, really, you know, have your backpack. I do those too.
Yeah. Buy two Lulu Guinness bags.
Which handbag cheers you up when you need it?
The latest one. You know, no, but you know what I mean. You know, if you're creative, you're,
it's the freshest one.
Yeah, it's what's like, I mean, I hate everything that I've done out that's all, you know.
But does the buzz of seeing somebody, whether it's a girl on the street, does that ever wear off when you see somebody holding something you've made?
And I always preferred that. When I started, and it was, you know, I was very lucky. It was all sort of Vogue and whatever. And then very soon on, I got asked to do designers at Debenhams. And actually, in those days, there was only Jasper Conran and I was about three. It was right at the beginning. It was a new concept. And actually, that was my fashion school. I learned how to how to do things for fashion. I learned basically what it was that you did. And I was always more thrilled seeing people on the tube with a bag from Debenhams, designers at Debenhams, because they were like 20 quid.
Yeah.
And mine were all made in England. You know, they were made by one person. So they were as expensive. Yeah. They were expensive. And I used the best fabrics and, you know, all of that. So I was used to say I much prefer someone, this was quite sort of feminist at the time, but that's spent their own money on buying one of my handbags than someone who comes in with her husband's gold card. I mean, that was the, yeah. This is another time. And just buys whatever she wants, you know, doesn't. I've always been so excited when people have actually wanted to get it themselves and thought, oh, I've saved up for it, or I know, it's really touching.
Yeah.
Of course, and by the sounds of it, this presentation is going to be quite spectacular, so I should imagine everyone's going to be clamouring to buy the latest collection.
I really want them to cheer up as well. I mean, I'm not trying, I'm sounding,
the world's a bit
am
miserable.
I sounding a bit
no, I think you're,
icky?
No, I think you're putting, no, you're basically I saying, think, let's have some fun, and put some fun, and you've always been about fun, and I think fashion can be a bit
I'd love
serious.
People to buy handbags, you know, but I don't think, I think you have to create, you know, you can't always be something forever. So I've been doing it for 30 years. I'm so old now, I'm having a comeback. I've always looked forward to this one. You know what I mean? It's like when Zandra Rhodes or, you know, whoever it is.
I'm just pulling a face because, I mean, how can you describe yourself that way? You've got...
Because I'm getting towards 60. I'm just being a dignified older person.
Oh, no, they're boring. Don't be a dignified old person.
No,
we don't want
that. No, but what I'm saying is fashion is so fickle. And if you've been out long enough, you can be in again. Mm. You know, I mean, you have to keep your game up. You know, you can't just go and do something else. But what I'm saying is I read that pencil skirts are in again. I mean... Oh, fantastic. I've only worn pencil skirts. You know what I mean? Yeah.
So if you stick with something long enough, it comes back in.
Yeah.
You're right. Do you know what, Joe? Yeah. I've got every confidence this is going to be a classic. Is it just me? Because we need to do some topics now, Lulu. So I think you've got some things to say.
I'm not
Shall we
say
move
anything.
On? Shall we move on to topics?
I'm not saying anything. I'm just going to let
I've left you
talk.
Speechless, haven't I?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I don't think this is just me, but I think in this little semicircle of trust we have here on Is It Just Me, it might be just me who doesn't have a signature style. I've got a real magpie tendency/problem. My wardrobe tells a million stories of the million women I've been in any given month, from pencil skirts to mini skirts to short trousers to long trousers to flary trousers.
Can you
trousers,
wear
to
short
skinny...
trousers? Oh,
no,
I see.
Know.
I think meant
kind
shorts.
Of made that up. Well, short shorts. Yeah.
What's that? Wow.
I've got a special pair that I clean the shower with.
Yeah.
But you know, some really horrible lavender ones. That's their use. But you've got a signature style, right, Lulu? And I know you have, James.
But it's funny you say that, because I used to think that I was often led by trends. And I guess maybe, is this a terrible thing? As you get older, I think you do tend to lose your confidence. Or I certainly have. I tend to think, okay, I'm not going to wear that. I try to invest more in classic things. But I don't know if that's more a man's style versus
a
women's.
Just a phase to go through.
But I don't think men's fashion is as exciting as women's fashion anyway. And I tend to find that as a result, men that tend to be very fashion-led can end up looking a little bit like the Joker. You know, they can look a little bit like they're in Pantone.
There's only very few people that can pull it off.
I think men do need to stick to more classic staples and invest in.
This guy does have at least two pairs of yellow trousers. Can I just point out?
What kind of yellow
trousers?
They're
nice. They look good.
I mean, in what context? What fabric?
They were like a chino worn with like some summer wedding with like a blazer and a bow tie and.
Sounds very cool. Very quite American.
The boat race. Yeah, a little bit like that.
No,
but I mean,
it's more Brideshead Revisited. Actually.
But it's sort of Long Islandy as
well. Well, I always say I'm always inspired by Tony Curtis in Some Like It Hot. You know, that kind of... I'm very nautical. So I would argue, I always err
So do you have polka dot cravat?
I do own polka dot
cravats. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So
I love all that.
I'm nautical or I'm black and
Should
white.
Should I answer
that's
your question?
Thing.
Yeah. Please, Lulu.
You're the normal one here.
Do you think?
You are 95% of the population.
See, when she says that, it sounds like a diss.
No, you want to be in our gang suddenly, don't you?
Well... Yeah. No, but I think that's good. I think that means you're not beholden to something. And in a weird way, it goes back to what we were talking about. Fashion should be fun.
Value other things.
And you're embracing the fun side.
I also have too many clothes. Mm. And so it does actually paralyse you with too much decision, too much disorder.
Yeah.
I wish...
I think that isn't it. I mean...
I want to be Grace Coddington, you know, but I've got too much of a... I get too bored with clothes to just wear black trousers and a white shirt. Mm. But that would make life so simple, wouldn't it?
I can see you do project yourself through how you wear. Mm. You know what I mean? You're giving me... I mean, this is a long conversation. People that have signature style, you've become a signature style, and you've learned that people, you know, there's a look that suits you. Look, I was born, for instance, I spent 3 years in Paris when I was 17 to when I was 20 in the late 70s. And that was always, you know, you've got to wear what suits you. You've got to, you know, not dress, mutton dresses. You know, you've got to do this. I dress from Portobello Road and fancy dress outfit. I do have quite a flamboyant style.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to be a wacky woman.
Mm. That is a terrible word, isn't it? Wacky. No one wants to be wacky.
You know what I mean? So
you don't want to be Anna Della Russo rocking the catwalk in a sequin thing at 9 o'clock in the morning.
No, she's fine. She's great. No, I mean more like, you know... I keep thinking of pantomime dames. I don't know why. But, you know, the people
you're wearing
you
everything
around,
at the same time.
Yeah, and, you know, you've got your hair, you know, and a sort of fluorescent bow on. And, it, you know, and you're a bit old. I don't know. I just don't want to be wacky. I think living in Paris for 3 years, all that time ago, means I also want to have some elegance. That's the word.
I've given up on that.
You've got elegance.
Do you think?
Yes,
wow.
I do.
That's on tape, everyone.
People often undermine the importance of clothes and they try to dismiss it as not important. And I totally
disagree.
No, but
saying who you are.
It's a part of your self-expression and it's also part of your armour. So confidence is what you put out to the world or what you put on to face the world. So I don't think you should underestimate the power of clothing. And ultimately, you wear what makes you feel good and what empowers you. So whether that is dressing wacky, dare I say it, the word I don't like, but if that works for you, do it. If you have a uniform and you like wearing headstone black and that's your way of getting, you know, focus and getting out the door.
Yeah, but be open to change as well.
I think so. I mean, I think...
It's a big subject, yeah.
You never know
it?
What you're going
to
get.
I mean, I say this to somebody, I feel like the happy place for me is I kind of know roughly, I've got things I can throw on. If I've got 5 minutes to get ready, I can throw something on and know I look well... I look pulled together and I look like me. Yeah. But don't get me wrong, I still have that magpie mentality. I think it's a bit like, the second you give up that magpie mentality, well, you might as well give up on life because that's the fun side. Surely embracing a new trend can be fun. And if it goes right, it goes right. If it goes wrong,
you know,
who cares? It's just clothes.
I have a daughter of 25 and a daughter of 21. Just. They are not interested in fashion.
But do you think they're rebelling because it's where they come from?
I think they think it's really boring, yes. Because it's part of their thing. Whereas their friends, you know, have always been, oh, wow, you know, like this. And they're just like, oh. Just. I think when you're young, you can let your clothes kind of wear you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You wear them for a thing. And then I think you reach a certain age, which is not a number that you can put on anyone. Everyone gets to it at a certain time. And you start dressing to flatter.
Well, I mentioned in the...
And that's why accessories have so always been so good.
Yeah, you can have fun with those.
Well done, Lulu. Yes. Guinness, handbag designer.
Yeah. I just remembered.
Well done.
Jo, lovely Lulu.
I'm not lovely.
Well, you're always lovely. I came up with this one a few weeks ago. I must have been having a bit of a bad day.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But, okay, is it just me who would happily retire tomorrow?
No, it isn't just you. Next.
Well, no, but I say this because it's quite interesting, because I come from, I would argue, like my dad retired a long time ago now, but I would still argue my dad is the busiest retired person you could ever wish to meet. Mm. And I sometimes
thank
sit
God.
There and I go,
thank God.
But you know, sometimes you go, gosh, the apple has fallen so far from the tree. Because I literally sit there and I'm going, I can't wait to be retired. So I can just do
you know
whatever
what?
I want.
I think there's a lot of questions here again. You, it's rather like you ask a question, but you're covering
a lot of ground.
Many, many
there's hidden
bits.
Depth to this show, Lulu. I'm glad you've realised. Not many people do.
I'm just deciding to which bit of that to answer. I think an interesting angle that I'm going to, because I'm with different people of all ages all the time, I really do, I think it's something interesting, is when, you know, there's wanting to do nothing or enjoy yourself, having the time to do X, Y, and Z, you know. But there's also, isn't there, sort of, if you're a driven person, which I think you both probably are and were as young, you know, like as teenagers and... You
Definitely.
Know, it's more about, has my ambition got, you know, do you know what I mean?
Do you
I
ever
care?
Lose?
No. You know, because what you, the more time you're in it, you're like, you're when you're young, you think, you know, I'm going to get to there and then I can stop. But what you realise, I'm sorry, everyone who's young, as you go on in whatever field you choose, you never get there because you might get there. It's never how you think. And then actually that produces another thing. You know what I mean? So you've got to personally decide. And a lot of people have said to me things like, oh, what was that very good one? Like, you've done your... haven't you run your century? I think they said. Or something, you know, very English cricket analogy.
Yeah.
But kind of thing. And yeah, there's times I go through also because I suffer a lot from depression and all of this stuff that I just do not know what I'm doing. And I think, why don't I just... do this, but I've got a family, I've got a real life, you know, young people can't move away. You know, there's a practical side as
but
well.
Also, I think that even if you have
but
to
also
work or don't have to work...
But also, it's reigniting your ambition.
You want a sense of purpose. You want a reason to get up in the morning.
And I think you're really lucky that your dad is so busy. I've got an incredibly busy mum, but I know, sort of a bit old-fashioned now, but, you know, men that retire, you know, they just did their job, and then, you know, when they retire, they... You know, the ones like my dad almost, that just sort of gradually just, there wasn't anything to live, you know.
Yeah.
Well, do you think it's because though, I mean, I think if you are a creative person to work, I think it's much harder to retire,
well, you
dare
don't.
I say. If it's more a job you do purely because you're qualified, you go in, it's 9 to 5, and you actually have a very good, I would argue, work-life balance. I think creative people tend to not have that
it's whether
cut and dry.
Are you
don't know. I mean, my father... you know, my parents solidly working class. My father had a, like, he worked for a petrol station for many, many years, and he's retired, and now he works part time in a hardware store. And I honestly,
because
think,
he likes the human contact,
exactly.
Yeah,
and he's like, I don't know, it's hilarious going down to see him down there. He's like the life of the party.
Yeah,
he's the old guy, and he loves it. And so I don't think it is just a creative thing. I think it's that. It's that wanting a sense of purpose and being part of
and being
a community.
Useful.
Well, also, I would say as well, as somebody who was recently between jobs, shall we say, and I actually had, you know, a sort of slightly enforced period of unemployment.
Quiet time.
Yes. You know, where, you know, you'd ended one chapter.
Oh, lovely. You see, I've never had that.
Ended one point.
Grass
and then,
is always greener.
But also, you know, you've become so wrapped up in your own identity with that one job.
Did you have a bit of a thinking?
Well, yeah, but it was also a bit weird. And I have to say, you know, I said this to a lot of people, you know, it's that sort of dream we all have, isn't it, about either it's gardening leave or you win the lottery, you don't have to work anymore and you have all the time to in the world to basically do your own thing. But what you don't realise is everybody else still has to go to work. It's actually very isolating and quite lonely to be that person that has all the time in the world and doesn't have to get up and go to work every day. So
do you like your own company?
I don't mind my own company, but I have to say, even as somebody who's quite comfortable in my own skin and my own company, I really struggle with it. And I got to a point where I needed to get back into the game. I needed to work. And that, I guess, has surprised me. So I guess I kind of wrote this subject, this topic suggestion, before that had really kicked in. Because I think I had this dream that I would retire tomorrow.
This was a result of it.
No. I think it's, and now it's quite fascinating because I actually realised, gosh, I don't know if I ever will be able to retire. And I think maybe the way retirement...
Well, maybe just the very work. I mean, it's like a lot of things, isn't it? We're at this time in the world where, you know, rules that apply to other generations no longer apply. And it's terrifying in some ways. But for me, it's not terrifying. I love it. You know, I like new... I mean, I like... you know, that awful sort of, you know, the sort of stories in the old days about the person that took the same train, you know, every day for 40 years and then got his carriage clock. And it's very sort of Alan Bennett, but you know, I mean, so there's the sort of commuter, but I just think it's not, things aren't so black and white. When you have an enormous change in the world, which happens whenever, you know, when it happens, you don't know how. I think things aren't so black and white. There's grey areas.
Yeah.
And I think we all, you know, because it all happened through the parenting, through the part-timeness, through the, you know, it's not so you retire on your 60th birthday.
But also people are living longer, so working longer as well. So I do think the climate's going
to
change.
And we need to have a look at our attitude to everyone's, older people in work.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But everyone's absolutely hot. The sort of reactions I get is like, but you wouldn't retire, would you? And I'm like, you know, anyone that's sort of part of my life, you wouldn't retire, would you, Lily? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'd love to. I just, you know, make ceramics. Or something. And they're all like... No, but you need like something really big. So, you know, they just thought, oh, gosh, you'd be a nightmare.
To keep you busy.
Look at Giorgio Armani.
Yeah. Oh,
every
wow.
season out on that catwalk. I mean, I think that, you know, bless him, I'm not wishing this, but after he dies, he will come back as a ghost and work there. I think he just
There was him and there was an 80... Yeah, because Valentino did retire. Now, Giorgio Armani, how old is he? 80-something?
He's got to be.
And he's still brown.
It's still his sense of purpose, you know.
And why not?
And it's his family. His family worked there. And, it's very Italian, that, isn't it? It's part of the, you know, it's your life.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a big thing in America. They always talk about, are you managing to make your passion your life? Yeah. Like your career? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's all about, is the thing you love...
what you do for work.
And when do you kind of realise, no, like if you're music, drama, you know, whatever it is, like maybe you'll have to go and do X to, and you know, and that's the sort of, the dream is always, you know, do your, to work from your passion. But I don't think, it used to be a celebrity, a Britney Spears, so luckily at least it's moved on. Yeah. Well.
I'm not giving up on that dream, Lulu.
Sorry.
And for any fans,
I love Kylie.
Oh yeah,
we love Kylie. Oh, it's my fellow countrywoman.
She's the best.
But basically, Lulu, you're going nowhere, whether you like it or not, by the sound of things, because I don't think we can.
No, a new generation seems to be embracing me.
Absolutely.
But my kid,
comeback.
Please don't. As long as my children don't hear this, they'll be like, "Oh my God, Mummy, you're embarrassing."
Right, now this one's going to put the cat amongst the pigeons. James Williams, Lulu Guinness. Is it just me? Actually, no, this isn't just me, but I wanted to discuss this one because I read this on, I heard this on the great god of podcasting, Adam Buxton's podcast, when he was talking about he and his wife quite often just use the same toothbrush, and that became a big scandal via the Adam and Joe podcast and it ended up my husband and I talking about this. Who's fine with using each other's toothbrushes? Because I am firmly Howard Hughes, end of the scale on this, can't be doing with it. And the times that I've realised...
I could guess that.
Is it the clothes?
I think we could... No, you could make this new game. You could, like, put you know, like, so you put all these people you've never met before in a room, and you have to guess how many of them would do that.
Would okay. you use the partner's teeth brush? Yeah.
You look neat and clean.
Really? Oh. No one's ever called me that neat before.
Haven't they?
No. Oh, well, I never feel neat and clean. But
well,
that,
you look
I,
it. That's, a, well, that's you. Because you're a perfectionist seeking something that, you know, you never think you will achieve. Oh. Do you see what I mean?
Oh, like, God, she's on to me, Jess. Yeah. We've got it's, to go.
However perfect you look, you'll still not think it is.
That's
you'll
right.
still be calling it a flaw. Whatever.
Flaudra. Yeah.
Dr. Lulu.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So imagine my face, Lulu, the times that I've been happily brushing my teeth and then realise I've accidentally, without my glasses, picked up my husband's teeth.
So you don't die, do you? And then what? And then what?
Well, the thing
what
is...
What happens? What's the, as they say, what's the worst thing that can happen?
I'm going to play devil's advocate
I'll tell you what I do is I pull a face to myself in my own mirror. And then.
But do you drop it or do you continue using it?
No, I swap. I love you, Ross. I love you, but it's, you know... Okay. It's...
I am going to play devil's advocate on this one because yeah. I'm with you initially, Jo. My gut reaction to this is slightly horrified. Of course, no. Because I'm also that person. I think, you know, there are boundaries in relationships and, you know, people who leave the door open while they go to the toilet with their partner.
Oh!
I find that all very weird. Oh. But I will say, you can, on a very basic level, tooth, mouth to mouth, you basically kiss, get off with that person... You're quite familiar with their mouth. So what's the difference really between them using their toothbrush?
But there is a difference because I'm not seeking out with my tongue his...
plaque.
The tartar between his teeth.
I mean, nothing says romance like seeking out the tartar between your loved one's teeth.
Right, well, they're making sweet
You've love. Actually got me shot. You know.
Yay.
I mean, you've got me like...
She's actually gagging, listeners, I have to warn you. you would rather, in a sticky situation, with one toothbrush between you, you would share one.
I wouldn't. No, I would...
I'd use my finger.
Did you just ask me a question?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Sorry,
that
I was...
That told you, Jo.
This is just how it's going to be, Lulu, all right? You've got to compete for airtime.
Would you, in a sticky situation...
Do you want my answer?
I do.
I know about you two now. And
too
you
much.
I know all about your toothbrush. And also... I'd also bring towels into that. But anyway, that's another thing. Do you know... I would. And I do.
Mm.
And... But it's not just your partner. It can be your kids and everything. I would never do it to someone I didn't know. I mean, there's also people that use other people's toothbrushes without telling them. Or are we just talking about partners?
I think, no, we're talking about the whole...
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're in someone's house, and would you secretly use their...
No, God, no.
I'd rather die.
Oh, my God, yeah. I'm actually coming out in some sort of rash just thinking about that.
Yeah.
Well, you see, it's quite funny that, because I can make you more upset about that than something truly ghastly.
But
probably.
Also, there was a time when human beings used twigs to brush their teeth.
Look,
so, I mean,
basically, I think it's not something you should do to someone without asking them.
No, fair enough.
And if your partner is someone that would hate that, you can't do it. And I just think it's, you know, you've got to respect what type of person they are. I have one that, you know, travels here and not, you know, it's always like here or not here. And so... It's not like it's always there. So, you know, I gave up a long time ago.
But I guess the underlying question...
I let him use it.
Well, I guess the underlying question here, really... It's
all about germs, though, isn't it?
I think this is a question about, is it possible to be too intimate with the person you're supposed to be the most intimate
yes.
with?
Yes. I think... I was going to say to you about that thing you were saying, and I would go back to my mum on this, and it's sort of back to the elegance thing, is, you know, keeping the mystery.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's incredible. I mean, that's not for women or for men.
No, both.
Yeah. I do think, you have kids to get, you know, I've been through that. You know, you do all this stuff and everyone's like, it's all very well you saying that, but you haven't got a screaming top, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I have done that. I have. And I just think if you can manage not to be, you know, to like remember that discipline of shutting the door or whatever. I do naturally feel it, so it's not that hard for me. You know, I do want to close the door. You know, it's gonna, in the long run, your relationship, you know, it's gonna be nice for your relationship, isn't it?
Absolutely.
That there's some things you don't have to know.
See, no, I'm with you on that.
It's not even.
I suppose if you've seen your wife having a baby, I mean, you know. The point is, I think it's so personal, isn't it?
But the thing is, Lulu, everything you say it with such finality and authority.
Oh, God, do
it. Well, yeah, it's like, you know, that's basically the law now, what you've just said.
What okay. would Lulu say? That's my new mantra.
Yeah, if I was king for the day or something. The trouble is, you see, I'm quite flaky. You know, I can be like this, opinionated, whatever it is, bossy, super bossy. But then the next day, I can't talk at all. So I'm not consistent.
Well, I'm glad we got you today then.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is you can't rely on me.
Oh, we can. I think
no,
we can.
Like, so I couldn't do a regular podcast. Or, what I'm saying, sorry, I'm not actually going to take over from you quite yet. No, but do you see what I mean? Yeah. I'm inconsistent.
Once you've got the fashion presentation,
I'm a creative mad woman. Yeah.
You've been a delight, Lulu. We've loved having you.
Okay, well, I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I just like something new.
Oh, good. Mm. And good luck with Fashion Week. I'm sure it'll be a huge success.
I hope you're coming.
Yes,
I will be there.
Come on, you've got to come and cheer me up.
In my best magpie outfit.
And to all our...
Yes. God, think how long you'll take deciding what you're going to wear. You better start now.
I'm going to try and out pantomime dame your most feverish imaginations of a pantomime dame.
And just quickly to any of our listeners out there, if you are enjoying the show, we'd love to hear from you. So do leave us a review on iTunes. And if you have any suggestions for future topics, do email us at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been my absolute pleasure.
And
see you again.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the tea.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.